This recording, England 56, is copyright the International Dialects of English Archive. Comma Gets a Cure is copyright Douglas N. Onaroff, Jill McCullough, and Barbara Somerville.
Well, here's a story for you. Sarah Perry was a veterinary nurse who had been working daily at an old zoo in a deserted district of the territory. She was happy to start a new job at a superb private practice in North Square near the Duke Street Tower. That area was much nearer for her and more for her liking. Even so, on her first morning, she felt stressed. She ate a bowl of porridge, checked herself in the mirror, and washed her face in a hurry. Then she put on a plain yellow dress and a fleece jacket, picked up a kit and headed for work. When she got there, there were a woman with a goose waiting for her. The woman gave Sarah an official letter from the vet. The letter implied that the animal could be suffering from a rare form of foot and mouth disease, which was surprising because normally you'd only expect to see it in a dog or a goat. Sarah was sentimental, so this made her feel sorry for the beautiful bird. Before long, that itchy goose began to strut around the office like a lunatic, which made an unsanitary mess. The goose's owner, Mary Harrison, kept calling, "Comma, Comma," which Sarah thought were an odd choice for a name. Comma was strong and huge, so it would take some force to trap her, but Sarah had a different idea. First she tried gently stroking the goose's lower back with her palm, then singing a tune to her. Finally she administered ether. Her efforts were not futile. In no time the goose began to tire, so Sarah was able to hold on to Comma and give her a relaxing bath. Once Sarah had managed to bathe the goose, she wiped her off with a cloth and laid her on her right side. Then Sarah confirmed the vet's diagnosis. Almost immediately she remembered an effective treatment that required her to measure out a lot of medicine. Sarah warned that this course of treatment might be expensive, either 5 or 6 times the cost of penicillin. Can't imagine paying so much. But Mrs. Harrison, a millionaire lawyer, thought it were a fair price for a cure. I was born in Halifax General Hospital, and my parents lived at the top of a village called Stainland. Both sets of parents had lived all their lives in that village, and they both lived probably about several hundred yards away from each other. I've never really told me how they met, but I would imagine they would have met at probably a church function, which the church was the focal point socially of the village at the time, because at that time no one had cars, there were very few buses. So most of the sort of social interaction went on in the village, and most of the social functions were at or around the church. When I was about 4 or 5, I think they moved down into the middle of the village, which was probably about only 100 yards away from the church. And I remember my mum being a staunch churchgoer. I can't remember my father ever going except to funerals and weddings and sort of functions like that, but my mother went religiously to church, and as part of that she kind of blackmailed me into going to church. When I was a teenager, they moved out of the village, and my mother wanted to leave a lot earlier on, but my father was one of the old style guys that kind of trolled along, never did anything. He didn't like change. He couldn't stand anything that was any different. So she nagged at him. She probably used the same blackmail techniques on him that she used on me to get him to move. And after about probably 5 to 7, I don't know, seemed like an eternity, but after about 5 to 7 years, she finally persuaded him to move. Well, it wasn't really out of the area. It was probably about 4 miles away, but it was almost on the border of where Huddersfield met Halifax. So it was like a gigantic step for him. Anyway, he moved, and like we moved from like a large middle terrace house next to a council, well, within a stone's throw of a council housing estate, we kind of moved to a semi-detached house in a relatively decent area. But the funny thing about it was like, again, it was on the borderline of a halfish area and a good area. So my mother gave the house its own name, which it had never had before. It was number 14 New Air Road. So she went on to name it Brant Wood number 14. And then she chose the better area of the two to say at which, so it was in Fixby rather than New Air Road Outlane, which the house prices at that time were about £5,000 more if it was in Fixby rather than if it was at the other side of the road in sort of Outlane. So it was, we felt quite chuffed at that time.